96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that all is well with you and that you've been having a good day so far. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us also on 325-4259. Or you can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So I'm expecting to have a conversation today with my good friend and sometimes substitute host here on Z Live, Mr. Hubert Edwards. We're gonna talk about a number of issues around really what the expectations are nationally, regionally, and globally in terms of economics, in terms of our politics, in terms of the social realities of our time. If you have been listening to the news, while no one can say that anything that you may have heard negative is like widespread, there are some troubling things happening in our country, right? We still have children who are falling prey to significant violence. We still have people being senselessly murdered. We have economic woes spreading themselves across the country. We have people in social distress. We're being told only recently that social services is seeing an uptick in requests for assistance. We're being told across the globe that there is some prospect of economic recession. I indicated to you before that the world's economy grows by less than 3%, it's regarded as in recession, and that is seemingly quite likely. Now, we still have the issue of FTX and those lingering. We have a global situation in the war there in Ukraine, and it seems to be getting worse, not better. We have political challenges in the United States of America, whatever people would like to think. Them finding classified documents in Biden's offices, no matter how materially different it may be than Donald Trump's, complicates matters enormously for their politics. And so there are lots of challenges. There are lots of challenges. I might note at the same time that there are lots of opportunities still abounding. Even while people are unemployed, there are still job openings where people are trying to fill spots right here in the Bahamas. There are still business opportunities. So while people may be closing businesses, some people are looking to open businesses. There's continued interest, foreign direct investment wise, in the country. And there continues to be growth in the country, even if that growth has decelerated since last year and the year before. And so there's still opportunities. There's opportunities for you. There's opportunities for me in our personal spheres of existence, because there's a great deal of our experience in this country and in this world that has more to do with what happens between our ears, the space between our ears, than it has to do with what happens outside of our bodies. But being able to take advantage of that is the great challenge of the human experience. So we're going to have some conversations around some of those things when my good friend Hubert Edwards joins us today. And I welcome you to join in on this conversation too. I mean, I could ask you really, what are you seeing out there? What are you seeing in the country that gives you cause for optimism? What do you see? I mean, like, is there anything that you could point to that says, you know what? When I look at that, I'm feeling better about us and our prospects going forward. Is there anything? Anything at all? We see compared to four or five weeks ago, FTX, people who invested in FTX or had monies on that platform seemed like they mightn't get anything. But now people are saying there are billions and billions of dollars that have been recovered or identified. And so prospect of people being able to get made whole, or at least partially so, is looking better compared to just a few weeks ago. I noticed that the price control people are saying that the margins on the pharmacies end the day that control. Well, did it ever kick in? Actually, did it really? Did it kick in? Is the question. I see the leader of the opposition is calling for a commission of inquiry on FTX. By the way, I was supposed to mention that when I was talking about FTX, a commission of an inquiry into FTX. Is that warranted? Do we need to have resources dedicated to FTX? Given all that we have learned today, is there a systemic issue or an issue connected to some levels of corruption that would warrant us going through an inquiry? Might not the inquiry done by congressional people there in the United States of America be sufficient? Or do we need our own specific inquiry? You know, what say ye? My brother Hubert Edwards, welcome, sir. Welcome and on the show. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, Shivago, for having me. Happy New Year to you. Wishing you all the greatest things that are possible for 2023 and for those persons who are listening. Certainly a great and productive year to them too.
Thank you, man. Listen, and again, for all the times when even, I mean, just in the last moment, I call on you to help me to fill in this space, but you do so ably. I really am grateful, man. Thank you for all the times that has happened. You've been very helpful. Otherwise, I would have been really stuck.
It's a pleasure.
No, man. So let me ask you, we are in 2023. I know that you have been a great observer of the happenings in the country, in the region, in the world, and have had been participant in lots of robust discussions about what's going on. I want to ask you, because, you know, it is not unusual for us to start things off talking about what is wrong, what is negative, what is not right. But is there anything you see out there that gives you cause to be positive, to be optimistic?
Yes, a lot of things. Well, some of them are relative, some may be a little bit more absolute. For me personally, the performance and treatment of 2022, I don't think is likely to repeat itself. You know, 2021 going into 2022 certainly played a significant number on, you know, individuals from, you know, all walks of life. It certainly affected institutions and it affected us at the national level. But when you look at what has happened certainly for the Bahamas, the reconsolidation, the performance of the tourism sector, when we look and we see the possibilities which have been announced, some of them, as we know from experience, these things need time to crystallize. But we have been seeing foreign direct investment or discussions about investment coming the pipeline. We have seen some improvement in the level at which the debt is trading, even though there is a potential counter argument to be made to that, but that is positive. We would have looked at the overall management of the economy, and while nothing spectacular has necessarily happened on the upside, the big positive that nothing spectacular has happened on the downside. And so, you know, there is cause for optimism. On the back of, I think, the FTX, which is, you know, maybe the biggest story last year coming into this year, certainly the Bahamas would have been in some way bruised. But I believe that out of the ashes of FTX are going to arise a number of opportunities, and very much right in the same arena of what we refer to as digital asset. There has been an opportunity for much learning, I would think. And certainly if it hasn't happened, we must ensure that learning takes place. But there is a superior, that's the last one, there's a superior level of experience, I would think, that the Bahamas as a jurisdiction might have vis-a-vis others, which can be leveraged for value.
But you think that the FTX experience might generate some digital opportunities for the Bahamas? You think that?
I believe so. I believe so. And the reason I believe so is that when you look across the global landscape, this thing in my mind is going to come down to regulatory competence. And it's going to come down to creating an environment which is going to display a level of understanding and facilitation. Now, you know, we are not the only one learning from our experience. Other persons obviously are taking note too. But the proximity of the experiences being right there in the middle, I think gives the Bahamas some leverage. I'm not saying we are going to emerge, you know, totally necessarily going to emerge in the front, but it gives us some leverage to put things in place and to restate our position to the rest of the world. And so I think some value can emerge from that.
If you, I think as a probability that is possible, and I think if you're right, I think that's going to be something that happens in the long term rather than the short or medium term. And the reason for that is I think that FTX and now some of the trepidations about Binance and what have you, I think that they are going to reverberate in that space for a little bit, for a couple of years. And I think people are going to be cautious. But I agree with you, there's learning that will take place and then there'll be some settlement after that. But I don't see that translating into any opportunities anytime soon. And quite frankly, I would be shocked if digital opportunities manifested in the Bahamas in the next 3-4 years.
Well, you know, in terms of a national outlook, 4 years is a short time. I think we have to look beyond the short term. You know, there was a point in time when many of us were having, uninformed discussions around derivative. It was one of the biggest thing on the block. It was super complicated, but it was happening and changing the face of finance and changing the face of the world and investment. That has now become, quite normal and ubiquitous, 20 years after, 15 years after, and so on, even though at the time it wasn't totally brand new. I get the impression that there is a dying and a rebirth that will take place in this digital asset space with cryptocurrency and stuff. And you're right. I think there's greater pressure which is going to come to bear on entities like Binance and the others. But, there is a reckoning which the world has to come to with this whole space. And when that happens, whether it's 5 or 7 years down the line, the Bahamas certainly should be in a position to capitalize.
Yeah, I think I'm careful to point out that I don't think at the fundamental level cryptocurrencies are an issue. I don't think at a fundamental level. I think frankly they are not going to be any major space in the global trading system anytime soon, but I don't think there's fundamentally any issue with them as a trading medium. I don't think so at all. I think the enthusiasm, that's in people's heads. I think that's the issue that really is at stake, because I keep hearing people talk about regulating cryptocurrencies. I mean, quite frankly, the government, the state can regulate any digital asset easily. It could, just like some states do it by saying, no, you can't trade that at all. Right? Yeah. You could say in the Bahamas, we could say, listen, you could trade as much cryptocurrencies as you wish. You cannot trade them for my fiat money. You could do that. And that could ring fence that space, right? So I don't think the cryptocurrency is the issue, but how you regulate the bad judgment, how you regulate out of control enthusiasm, the world certainly hasn't found a means to do it since the bubbles of the
tulip.
if you know our business goal. If you tell me a good enough story, boy, I may put all my money in it, right?
Right. Shivago, the issue which the Bahamas will have to grapple with from a regulatory perspective is the nature of its offshore industry and the fact that it goes out and seek to attract and often do so with some level of success. Entities which are by their nature, they are going to be involved or want to be involved on the cutting edge wherever the industries are going. And consequently, the Bahamas has to position itself to be able to respond to that. If we take a look at the recent guideline which has been out for consultation by the central bank, if you look at it within the context of what has developed, And, you know, just recently I read a story in Forbes which described very, very in-depth, developments around a particular local bank. And that puts greater context for me as to some of the things which are included in that particular piece of proposed regulation. And so even though it may never become mainstream, or it may take a while to become mainstream, just by the nature of the offshore financial services industry, you know, regulatory, within that regulatory space, they will have to be at the front of the line in many ways, innovating and doing some things differently.
But I think you, but the reality is, like, if we forget the that's being traded, for instance, cryptocurrency, if we forget that, because think about it, right? The financial services space, the banking space, it's about digital assets. When they say I have an account at Royal Bank or Scotia Bank or some other bank, and then we go ahead and we get loans and these kinds of things, that ain't nothing but digits, right? That's not real stuff. Right, but what we know though is what is regulated is human behavior. So when I go to the bank, they say, know who this person is. Mm-hmm. When I do a loan, they have some reserve requirements attached to that. When I set up a financial services business, there's rigorous investigations done around my setup, my means, my corporate governance and systems and all that kind of stuff. FTX was not subjected to that.
No, right. No,
so that transfer some of those regulatory provisions in our current space. Mm-hmm. Maybe we catch some of it. You can't stop a person who is sitting around thinking about something that may represent bad judgment or may even represent unethical practice or may even represent bad management. You can't stop all of that. But what the corporate governance regulations and these kinds of things are intended to do is to build greater difficulty in that kind of thing happening.
Yes. And in real terms, the regulatory space around that is going to be reconciliation between what some person want to refer to as old world, old school regulatory practice, but practices which are sound and fundamental, designed to impact the performance, the proper management, effective corporate governance of financial institution, and also in a more macro way to protect the financial system, to protect the integrity of the global financial system and the stability thereof. And so, you know, if that the arguments which have been proffered from early, within the crypto space, the idea was, you know, let's seek as much as possible to eschew these things. We don't want to have this type of a regulatory. We are, you know, decentralized and blah, 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 blah. What is going to come, especially now, I think, out of this FTX battle, is a reconciliation of what those fundamental principles of regulation are designed to achieve, why they are designed in that way, and in terms of the protection, and those are going to meld into a recognition that these things have to be imposed on these entities. Because if you go back to the press release, if you remember the press release which came out from the Securities Commission when the situation came to a head, I think the first one that they put out, they weren't making any statement about the leverage ratio wasn't in at the right place. And they simply say that there may have been a breach of corporate governance. And that, even though it's a small statement, is so huge within the context of managing and risk management and ensuring that organizations don't do the things which you just spoke of. So yes, I agree with you, very fundamental. And that reconciliation is going to happen, must happen going forward.
We're going to take our first break and then come back to the conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host, and I'm here, my good friend, Hubert Edwards. We're talking about a host of things we can look out for this 2023. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my
taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
So much going on in the world today? Only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.3, the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Reach out, base check, and talk more often, and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by Chief Health and Wellness.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where I'm here speaking with my good friend and sometimes replacement host, Hubert Edwards, talking about a number of things we can look out for in this 2023. What concerns you, Brother Hubert, that you are looking at in the country that you see? What concerns you?
Well, there are a number of connected things to look at, Chicago. If we start at the good part, the reconsolidation of the economy, which is going well and in many ways coming into towards the end of 2022, and performed much better than was initially anticipated. And so, you know, that's a positive. The concern there is that there's an expectation that that is going to wane, or at least return to normalized levels at some point in time during the currency of this year. My hope is that it can drag out as far as possible. And the reason for that concern is it's that waning is going to be happening in an environment which is still highly inflationary, and in an environment where the country has yet to come to grips with the possibility of new means of growth. And also, we still remain challenged, even though it's not on the front of the news these days. But in the background, a hurdle that the country faces is grappling with its debt, and the extent to which that is going to potentially impact decisions going forward. And so that is one of the areas which I'm a little bit concerned about. When we look at some of the things which have been happening, for example, in the era of the debt, we know that the central bank recently gave allowance for local players to be able to access the funds to purchase some of that. And that was obviously a significant economic opportunity for many persons. As a result of that, the debt is now trading at a much better level. My caution with that is that, yes, it has gone down, but it doesn't seem to have been to have the same level of effect on market sentiments that one would anticipate going in. And so to some extent, because we still have a large amount of borrowing needs, I think we started a borrowing need of about $1.8 billion. And so far, we may have done 500,000 if you take into consideration the 500 million, sorry. If you take into consideration the drawdown on the SDR. So these are things which, if looked at in isolation, may not be bothersome. But when you start to kind of tag them together, it may cause you a little bit of a spot of a bother.
Yeah, you know, I our debt to me is kind of like the sexy button that you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because it points to some things. But the debt is a function of some things. And it seems to me like the government of the Bahamas over successive administrations now is unwilling to look at the factors that push forward the debt, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Debt doesn't change. You don't have to borrow. I mean, I understand the government will borrow. This is in a country like ours, for capital development needs, it's highly unlikely that you are going to get to move forward with that kind of capital development without borrowing. But here's the reality. No matter what has happened with our revenue performance, we have continued along a spending path that is upward. No matter what happens, we do that, right? And so, and why I point to that is, I have less concern about our ability to service our debt than some people might, for this one reason. We have never, in the last 25 years or so, exercised options to curtail our borrowing that we could exercise if we started to feel the pinch on servicing our debt. Whatever, even though the percentage of our expenditure, our debt servicing, it still represents about 16% of overall government spending, still. And the government of the Bahamas continues to spend in new areas, continues to do, I mean, I use it not because it's the biggest thing, but if you just look at our increased travel budget, that's a discretionary something, right? There are many, there's at least a 10 to 15% discretionary cushion within the budget that we are exercising that we don't have to exercise. And we could, in a medium to long-term strategy, we could alleviate some of the pressure. Now, granted, the budget's present projection is that the deficit is going to be reduced below 2% of GDP, and that at some point it's going to actually be balanced. So
it's going to tend towards...
If that Alan Bowe, who was on the debt management committee, just came back to the government and says, stop ignoring your budget projections. And that is true, because only a projection only matters if you exercise discipline within the context of the things that you are projecting.
Yeah.
So I don't see the debt as, I mean, I agree with you 100% as an indicator of how we may not be doing it right. Mm-hmm. It is something to watch, but we have not exercised. Take, for instance, take Jamaica, Barbados. Some of the things that they would have had to do to satisfy an IMF program, which we have never been on, we haven't even close to exercise even just prudential norms to help ourselves in terms of reducing the deficit, right? Yeah. So if we had a squeeze in terms of paying our debt, I mean, there are a ton of things we could do, and some of them ain't pleasant for people who wake up to consider, but it's possible. You could, if people think you could shave off your contractual workers, you could shave off your temporary workers, you could reduce some, I'm talking about in drastic measures now, you could reduce salaries and these kinds of things, right? Those are drastic measures, but we don't even have to do that because our discretionary spending continues to be robust, notwithstanding what we say is happening in the environment.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you from the way you lay that out. The reason that kind of sits kind of at the middle of my kind of discussion and my thinking is, as you rightly state, debt is a function of the decisions that we make. In a way, the debt in many, not in absolute terms, but a large part of the debt is just an accumulation of the deficits that we have run over the years. And the deficits are a function of intentional decision. In some instances, they're developments such as a hurricane or some other disaster, which cause us to do more than anticipated, less than anticipated. And so you have some variation or some fluctuation. But overall, it's kind of the embodiment of the things that we have decided to do or not do. Now, when you put that within the context of known areas of reforms, known areas of changes which are required. You mentioned the fact that we could, do better in terms of the discretionary spending. But when you look historically, that has never happened and won't happen. When you consider that maintaining this debt creates a spend of about 15-16%, which crowds out other potential areas, you have to keep it at a level of importance, because it is going to become an important determinant in some of the decisions which are going to be made. But
historically, we have exercised some of that. I want to remind people that prior to 2007, 2008, the Bahamas had one of the lowest debt ratios in all the world. Second, between 1992 and 1999, the Bahamas's average debt servicing ratio was below 1%, below 1%. And this was at a time when the revenue of the country was growing robustly because the economy had such a sustained level of growth. But what happened in that period was, rather than eat up the gains of the revenue in spending, the opposite happened. That spending did not rise at the pace of revenue growth. Mm-hmm. And so you were able then to have these DFS deficits around 1%, right? And so we've seen where that can benefit the country. And so our debt to GDP ratio did not grow in any significant way over that entire decade. What we have done is, and when 2007, 2008 occurred, and I was in the government at the time, we understood that we would need to use up some of our fiscal space to survive that period, very difficult period. And so we ratcheted up borrowing to support the economy. When 2009, 2010 came around, we tried to rebalance that. It wasn't received very well, but we tried to rebalance it, right? But ever since that time, we have had a series of shocks that our response to continuously, even at the after the end of the shock, was to continue on an expansionary fiscal spending path. Mm-hmm. And then to turn around and then argue that our debt, the GDP ratio was going out of control as if it was happening without us participating in it.
Yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, everything is a decision. Now, some of the decisions, some of the spending becomes unfortunate because some of the decisions taken went awry. Some things didn't go as expected or not as effectively as expected. And so you end up maybe, you know, spending a dollar two times or three times, which should have just been done at once. But at the end of the day, it translates into the overall deficit. It goes into the debt. When we look at where we are in terms of our revenue space, Chivago, and as you know, as a former minister, the fiscal space of the government is absolutely important because that's the realm within which it can make adjustments or make decisions. And the first thing it has to sit down and say, you know, what type of fiscal space do we have? We saw just this week, I think, or last week, the leader, head of the revenue, inland revenue, was speaking about, you know, persons who are maybe potentially ducking value-added tax, that the level of reporting may not be at where it's supposed to be. I did a short piece at the end of last year, and I said that one of the things I anticipate coming into 2023 is that the conversations around revenue are going to tighten. I said that is, I believe that if the government is going to approach this target, which it set for itself of 25% revenue to GDP, it has to find some way of really tightening down on sources of revenue. And if that can be achieved, then it will have to go on the other side and look at how cuts are going to take place on the expenditure side. Because at the end of the day, I believe that the outcomes going into maybe the next 4, 5, 6 months of our fiscal performance are going to cause questions to be asked. And if those questions can be answered in the positive, then we are good. If they can't be answered in the positive, it's going to put greater pressure on the performance of the economy, yeah. In terms of, you know, securing funding and financing programs.
We're going to have to go into the news break, but it's not going to be possible to do any of that on one side or the other. It's going to have to be a problem. And then the bulk of it is going to be helped by the growth of the economy. And so it's going to be a challenge all around. But we'll get back to it when we come back from this news break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. And I'm here with my good friend, Hubert Edwards, talking shop about 2023. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
What's your open mic, Brother Edwards, just to be clear. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where I'm here with my good friend and sometimes our replacement host, Mr. Hubert Edwards. We're talking about what we are looking at this 2023, some of the issues out there. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I know some of you have texted us and I'm going to read some of your texts in a minute. But Edwards, let me see if you follow this line of thought. You had mentioned that the Inland Revenue Control, I believe it is, indicated that they were going to be more aggressive,
mm-hmm.
going after people. You also mentioned last year that you thought that would be the case. But see if you follow this line. Did the government not reduce VAT by 2 percentage points?
Yes, it did.
Okay, why do you think the government did that?
Because that was a promise that was made in the party's manifesto. It indicated that if it was to come to power, it would reduce VAT by 2%, and it did just that.
Right, but its argument was that it would give relief to consumers and the country, right, including the consumers, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that it would be stimulative because that 2 percentage points in the hands of consumers would be helpful to them.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Right. So you reduce VAT in that way. when you go aggressively at taxpayers, right, you are going to do somewhat of the reverse. Mind you, the tax is lawfully due. There's no question about that. But mm-hmm. if, in fact, people are not paying the tax, they then have that tax to spend in the economy. True or not true?
That is correct.
Spend or save. Okay.
Well, they have the money to spend on the things that they want to spend.
Exactly.
Obviously, if it goes to the government, it gets spent within the economy nonetheless. But, you know, it's a different focus.
Well, not only is it a different focus, it might not be spent in the economy at all. Because if you take the government's dollar is going to pay...
Yeah, you're right.
Debt servicing, it's going to pay its arrears and mm-hmm. so forth. So some of it will get spent in the economy, going to be as productive as a dollar in the hand of a private person.
That's correct.
That's why correct. The economic models will suggest that when taxes go up, the economy tends to shrink. That's the economic model, right? Mm-hmm. So if you get more aggressive with taxation, yes, the government may benefit in terms of revenue increase, but there is a degree to which you start to also impact your overall economic situation, just as you were trying to do positively by cutting taxes to begin with.
Yeah, and that is kind of the vagary with taxation. Taxation have its own set of challenges. If you increase it, persons will seek ways of avoiding it. If you go too aggressively, then you're going to stall what like you said, the availability of cash, which is out there in the system, and, you know, based on active turnover in the various economies, you know, microeconomies, which then come together to form the big macro thing, which pushes the country. If you disturb that, then you could cause some challenges. Now, the extent to which an individual entity has tax obligation and should report accurately and lawfully, you know, then certainly we can't, you know, we're not by any means encouraging any individual to do otherwise. The larger point, though, is that one must understand that when a policy decision is taken, there is yin and yang, and there's always, and so the extent which those trade-offs materialize at the end of the day will affect the overall country. If you go back to the 2%, though, the 2% reduction, Chicago, you know, some persons argue that it shouldn't have been done. It shouldn't reduce it. I was on the side which said I wouldn't reduce the VAT at that point in time. But be that as it may, it was discussed that it was going to be valuable going forward. One of the headwinds which that reduction ran into is the significantly increased you know, inflationary environment. And so the extent to which individuals were actually saving on the reduction in tax obligation, they were kind of losing out on in terms of the purchasing power. And the value of that was kind of being transferred to the government, because the government also took in value-added tax on a higher base. And as you rightly pointed out, a portion of that take by the government was going right back out in terms of servicing fund. Though, you know, the overall impact may not have been, certainly don't seem to have been, as was expected. So, you know, going forward, again, caution need to be brought to bear to ensure that whatsoever decision is going to be made, it doesn't significantly trouble the economy. But at the end of the day, the lawful requirements should be enforced. I support that 100%.
The law enforces, which the controller is, has no choice in the matter.
Yes.
But to chase the revenue that the government has lawfully taxed. It is the political directorate that has to make sure that there's cohesion in all of its policies, right? Because if you suggest tax cutting is stimulative and desirable, then don't be surprised that your operators are trying to avoid paying your taxes, because they are feeling the pressure that your consumers are feeling that makes you think the consumer needs some relief, because the business is a customer of other people too. And yeah, of course, they're going up for your consumers, they're going up for them. If businesses feel the strain of that taxation, the extent to which they can, they will pass that on to your consumers. And so sometimes you can counter. So you have to take account of what is happening in the overall environment and see whether what holistic and cohesive strategy makes sense in that environment.
Yeah.
Right?
Timing may be critical. Sometimes having the intention of doing it is the right thing to do, but sometimes holding it up in the overall scheme of things.
It's all judgments, and good policy making is evaluating the results of your policy. And this is what we do not do. This is what we don't do well at all. We don't do it well at all. We take measures, oftentimes looking to the politics of it. Well, it was popular with people that they got a cut, but you know, we don't necessarily look at the outcomes. Did it really make a difference to them? Did it really make a difference to the economy, and so forth and so forth? We sometimes don't have the instruments to do it, and sometimes we don't have the will or interest to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes just another exercise, you know? We have some text here. Let me read some of those. The text is rather long, so bro, I gotta choose which one I read, because I know you were writing this over several spaces. So in spite of the global economy slowdown, hospitality and tourism in its new, forgive me, I was looking for my eyes, you know, my glasses, but I couldn't find them. In its new incarnation is growing and will continue to grow. Financial services in its shift to total digitization and digitization will grow exponentially. I don't see that at all. Not in our space, and I don't see it in the global space, but you know, that's a thought. So our two major industries will continue to grow. The question is, do we as a country have the ability to grow with it claiming our space, even if it means building a new table and inviting the world to sit at it? So the world has shifted in 2023 to the knowledge economy. In 2023 is like 17 days old, and the world has shifted in 2023. I don't buy that. So people like you and I will find opportunities for some sweet growth. We need as a country to adjust our sail and move quickly in the direction of the early wind. It's easier for our small ship to move with its new wind. The larger ships, larger countries need a large wind to move their economy. So they will move as the wind grows in this new arena. You heard that, Brother Edwards.
Yes. You know, a couple of things there. You know, if you're a small country, you may be akin to a sailboat. Yeah. If you're a big country, you know, a nuclear powered ship. And so the idea of being able to adjust sometime, nimbleness is not always the end and all in things. You know, sometimes you have the ability to power through things. And so that has to be taken into consideration. The, you know, like you said, you know, the shifting, it's too early, you know, to start to tie a bow on 2023. But one of the things we often ignore in our conversations about the potential for growth in, say, financial services, or any other industry, whether the opportunity is traditional or nascent, is the fact that the growth doesn't often align with a shift in the fiscal arrangements. And what I mean by that is, let's use maybe it's not the best example, but let's use it anyway. Let's use FTX as an example. It was here for a short time. FTX was a significant entity, you know, dealing with billions and billions for a full fiscal cycle. The question to be asked and answered is, how much revenue directly flowed from that type of an increase? And I'm just using FTX as a proxy for an expansion.
But why revenue? Why government revenue? Why would government revenue be the thing that I want to measure? I mean, why government revenue? Why not the gains in the broader economy? Why the government revenue? Government is like 20% of the economy.
Yeah, but in addition to the gains in the broader economy, we certainly look for employment. You certainly look for the type of economies or the clusters which are going to be developed, the service providers, and so on. But I personally always go back to the fact that even after that happens, the government collectively is not improving its ability to deal with the obligations that it has. We're still running a deficit. Is it a chance that we definitely are just overspending, or is it that we are not taking in sufficient revenue? We don't have enough tax space, which is going to provide the financing that we need, such that we are not experiencing these perennial deficits. You know,
deficits. I want to get back to the broader question of the gains to the economy, but deficits, just look the world over and you will see that deficit spending is a structural feature of governments in the countries of the world. It's not unique to the Bahamas, not unique to the region. So that's never the real issue, is that you deficit spending. The real issue is how much deficit spending you're doing. Is it keeping pace with the growth of your economy? So generally speaking, 2% GFS deficit is regarded as sustainable and so forth. So that's that. You're going to have that, right? But what I was asking you was, like, if an entity comes here, isn't it better that entity is having a broad impact on your economy? And that's what matters more than anything else, than it's having some impact on your revenue, government revenue.
Certainly it's important that these these spin-off or spillovers from the particular entity does happen. Like I said, it's important that it positively impact employment. It's important that it positively contribute to the various service providers. It use services, it use electricity and whatsoever. So yes, that's a big plus. And to the extent that it injects additional economic life in those areas, then those two are going to create spin-off and spillovers in other areas. So yes, that's a positive. I still keep an eye on the revenue side, even though it may not be the primary focus. You want to create broader impact and broader growth. But I still believe that at the end of the day, we have to keep an eye on how these growth and development, in government's ability to meet its obligation.
But the truth of the matter is, the government of the Bahamas could, within 6 months, balance its budget.
Easily.
So we are making decisions not to balance the budget because it ain't politically popular, and in some instances it's impractical to the economy to do so.
Exactly. So you make the argument and you take into consideration the tensions. I think it's some persons sometimes say, this can be done and that can be done. It's a little bit foolhardy to do that. One has to respect the political tension. When you drill behind the government, there is a party, and the party has an objective, and that objective is to win, to become the government, and so on. So these tensions cannot be totally decoupled from the ultimate policy decisions at the end of the day. What one would hope is that you would see greater balance in many instances being brought to bear, and such that, even though the tensions exist, you find that maybe incrementally, in the text, the individual talk about exponential change, but incrementally, we would see year over year, cycle over cycle, improvements in these areas. And too often, I think the tension, especially the political tension, has created almost absolute inertia. There's just some things which we all know, we understand, and we accept that they must change, but they just never change. And as I said, further down the road, and you pay for it on an ongoing basis, because it creates reduced productivity, it creates ineffectiveness, it creates a drag on the economy, the ease of doing business, any number of things. And so in the space where we have these things which are becoming barriers to growth, then they are exerting a reasonable or significant cost on the economy. And so, we just can't discount them. We just can't leave them out of the conversation. They are part and parcel of the thing. So, when the prime minister, any prime minister, makes a decision and overbalances that in terms of, is this going to be favorable from a party perspective versus the economic good for the entire population, that becomes troublesome at some point in time.
This text says, Mr. Lang, the situation that Joe Biden finds himself in is very unfortunate. whether it's one or two classified documents found, they were classified. The Republican Party is going to be very hard with this as they try to bring Trump back in the forefront. He and Biden in the same boat. I agree with that person 100%. People ain't looking at plenty voices a little bit.
Yeah, the only difference in this is that Biden is throwing up his hand and saying, come get them. A little bit different.
Yeah. This Texas gentleman, how do you think that we will be viewed as a serious regulated center with a myriad of laws when we have not charged SBF with a crime, even though we had jurisdiction?
That's an interesting one. There obviously was a decision taken not to pursue charges locally at this point in time. When we discuss the issue of extradition, we have to be mindful that most extradition treaties, I think certainly the one with the United States and the local extradition act, don't allow you to extradite people for offenses which are not crime within your country. So every single one of those things which are listed there certainly could be charged, but one has to be respectful of the persons who are in the know. They have information that we don't have, and they made a decision. And I think part and parcel of that was to kind of remove the drama from the forefront of the Bahamas, from remove us slightly from the theater that was brewing. And you know, it could be a positive thing. At the end of the day, as this thing unfolds, whatsoever weaknesses would emerge, you know, we are going to still pay the price for it. But I think it takes much of the edge here in the Bahamas. You know, there was just, I think, it was quite risky in my mind to keep him if we had an option of sending him away.
This text says, construction always seems to be booming. How to capitalize for the average person is the question. I don't know if construction is always booming.
No.
It isn't always booming. Quite frankly, sometimes it takes a big hit.
Yep.
Sometimes.
And there's a segment of construction. There's a segment of the construction / real estate market that I in, which you know seems to be self-sustaining and always plugging along. But there's a huge gap between that segment and the regular guy. If you're asking about the regular guy, it doesn't always translate that easily, just because of who the players are, where it may be located, and how the goods are sourced in many instances. So, you have to balance that in many ways.
I'll give the texter an example. In 2012, residential issued construction permits was like 1,041, according to the Central Bank. In 2020, it was 685. Right? Like, that's almost cut in half. Not quite, but, you know. And then it is robust enough for sure, but it does have its moments. Now, how to take advantage of it if you are an average person? I don't know what an average person means, but obviously if you are an average person with construction skills, you take advantage through that way. If you are somebody who's a contractor in a space where you can get work from others, but it isn't typical for average people to take advantage in entrepreneurial spaces. Average, by that I mean, you don't have the A students and B students don't typically become your entrepreneurs. That's just so you know, right?
Yeah.
And so you're in quote, your average academic people tend to thrive in that space more than your excelling academics. But in terms of just ordinary citizens, entrepreneurs are special. Let's be sure, they represent a small segment of the population. They're special. So the vast majority of us are only going to be, are mostly going to earn our keep through working for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, but in the broader scheme of thing, the benefit is that whatsoever is generated by them, the gains which is generated within that narrow sector, you know, ultimately affects the country. You may not feel it directly, but in the overall scheme of things, if it is booming there, while it may not trickle down to you directly, indirectly, the country is in a better space.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm here speaking with Mr. Hubert Edwards. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12.
iMoney is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I'm here with Mr. Hubert Edwards. So glad that you could join us today. Edwards, someone here says the government allows way too much Turkish and Chinese workers in the Bahamas.
That is going to be, that is has always been one of the biggest thing, and I think it's something which is featuring significantly in terms of the discussion, and that's around, you know, immigration and foreign workers and that type of stuff. I think the reference to Turkish workers have to do with the construction of the U.S. Embassy, and that's where we see a lot of those individuals are. And, you know, to be told, we know kind of how that goes. If the U.S. Embassy is being built and this is the way they're sourcing it, I don't know that the government is in a position or would want to be in a position where it's telling the U.S. In the construction of their embassy that they won't allow them to bring in this type of expertise. Is it that there are too many persons coming in? Well, you know, the discussions usually happen around heads of agreement. We saw it being built, and there were some discussions as to whether there was adequate local involvement in terms of employment. But these things again come back down to the decisions which are taken, you know, the agreements which are reached and the extent to which that balancing needs to take place. One would want to argue for greater, if not a case where you can have majority involvement from a labor perspective, being persons from the Bahamas, then certainly you want to balance it to the maximum level possible. But, you know, it seemed to become one of those complicated areas which, you know, cause problems for persons within industry.
Yeah. This person text says, a spokesperson gave an example today of a nail tech working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for a year, and concluded that such a business must earn over $100,000 per year. But a business model doesn't work like that if that is the level of analysis they're doing it at Inland Revenue. God help us all. Someone from Inland Revenue gave that that example?
No.
I don't know. So let's take a nail tech. Let's take a nail tech. And let's say I'm going to be really liberal. I'm going to be really liberal and say a nail tech charges $80, let's say. Let's say even $100 to do a manicure and a pedicure. I don't believe that that is true, but let's take that, right? And a manicure and a pedicure might take, what, an hour, 2 hours?
I have no idea.
I'd say an hour, maybe an hour and a half, maybe, right? Okay, so let's even say an hour. So they get to do, say, six in a day, right? Mm-hmm. So that's $600 a day, right? And they're open 6 days, 6 days in the week, right? So 6 days in 52 weeks, right? That's 312 days. Times $600 a day, right? $600 a day. So that is going to earn $187,000.
Yeah.
If you half that, if you half what my initial proposition, they are going to earn close to $100,000,
mm-hmm.
right? But I'm not entirely sure how many of them making that, but it is conceivable. It's conceivable that...
But there will be some persons.
Some persons could be doing that, some.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the Inland Revenue people are correct to suggest that there probably is some shaving going on of revenue because people are underreporting their income. I believe that that is true. The extent to which they believe that far more people of the 50,000 registered businesses make over $100,000 a year. The thing is, you know, how do you tell in a country where audited reporting isn't required?
Yep.
You know, you are literally at the mercy of people's honesty.
Yeah, and that is kind of part and parcel of the taxation regime within the Bahamas, which is, I think at some point in time, may need to have further development. I know it's a function of the fact that in other countries you have, income tax and corporation tax, and that requires a little bit more robust auditing.
It don't have the ducking and dodging, though, bro.
No.
Because in those jurisdictions, you know the gymnastics.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's certainly not a panacea. And as a matter of fact, if you're talking about corporation tax, that could be way more vicious than value-added tax. But the government and its tax machinery has to figure out a way as to how it's going to ensure that there's greater enforcement and greater credibility, at least from its perspective. Because if the leaders are saying we don't believe, then they have to go out and prove that this is what we don't believe and show that there's actual, evasion taking place. Because that's effectively what it is.
Yeah, they can. I think you can really only do it. You can only really help yourself by doing surprise inspections or random inspections or random audits. You can do like that, then kind of makes the system more honest. But unless you require, and this is the problem that exists in all the systems around the world, unless you require taxpayers on the private and corporate side to have all their stuff looked at by third parties, it is difficult. It is difficult. You are essentially relying on an honest system.
Yes, and that honest system can become very flexible. Persons are generally going to act in what they consider to be their best interests. You know, if you make them, the threshold is 100,000. If you're making 120, one might sit down and rationalize, you know, why get a government, you know, why disclose this? It's only $20,000. You know, how can we figure out that we can keep some of this so we can expand the business and grow the business? After all, government doesn't spend money well. Government is ineffective, inefficient. You know, you can rationalize this anyway so that you can go to bed and sleep well at night. But that is going to happen. And the extent that you have some measure of quote-unquote fear, where persons are concerned about being caught out and maybe subject to punishment, you know, they'll have to figure that out.
This Texas great show as usual. Mr. Lang, this Nassau, of course, shaving is being done. If we go to Walmart with 25 bags, think people will show all their receipts to Inland Revenue, they better get real.
That will happen.
If Inland Revenue show up with the power they could show up with in law, you might think twice about what you do. This text says a man can cost on average $60, a money can cost on average $60 to, on a petty $80. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So that's assuming they are fully booked. I know a nail tech who may get five for a whole week. If it's the Christmas season, sure, they might be fully booked. Okay, there you go.
And yeah, so they're going to be ebbs and flows, right?
Yeah, exactly. And my situation, the scenario I painted was a very liberal one.
Yeah.
You're doing exceptionally well.
You have them doing good every single day for 6 days a week.
That's right. Every single day, 6 days of the week. This text says after expenses, most can't afford to pay government tax. I can believe that. I can tell you one thing that I know if we making money, like honestly, we can pay a thing. You know what I mean? Like, if we can get away with it, we might get away with it. But if we make money, we can pay a thing. But when you see people start shaving on taxes, they really are thinking, I don't have it to spread around like I want.
Yeah, things tight.
Yeah. I mean, I think businesses, if things liberal, they might don't like to pay the tax, but they can pay it, right? But when you see them start shaving, they're watching the line, isn't that true?
Yeah, definitely. And usually when you think of a person in business and who is registered with the government, always have in the back of the mind, no matter how laid back or how lax the enforcement may be, there's always in the back of their mind that at some point in time somebody will ask you a question. Those who are closer to the line to say, well, you know, we are not doing well, are more likely to slip that direction. And like you said, guys who are well over that, even though they may not deliver the full thing, they're more likely to be those who are going to be the bulk of it. So, you know, that's something which just seemed to happen naturally.
This text says, on the other hand, I told a lot of business people Inland Revenue is turning into the IRS. They ain't playing. I have two business licenses. One was inactive for 15 years, and in order to renew my new license, I had to pay off the old business license Inland Revenue. Tell you think this again?
And that's fine. That's normal. If you want to use that same business license, obviously it's valuable for you. You know, you were supposed to pay it as an obligation you have to the government. Then certainly they should enforce it.
Yeah, that happened to them, though. Even the Port Authority, the other day I had to pay almost $9,000 for an arrears and licensing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes you ain't remember your license? Because then you're not active. You know, you've been doing other things, but you want that license, you'll pay that money.
Yeah, and it's valuable. You know, the idea of, you know, going to get a new one and to start over on this, you know, so much challenges. So,
yeah.
You know, you pay the arrears and you give the government what it's due.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're here listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm here with Mr. Hubert Edwards. We're going to come back and wrap up the show, and then I'm going to tell you about a show I'm doing tomorrow that I feel very good.
Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? Down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure that these check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. I'm here with Mr. Hubert Edwards, and Brother Edwards, of course, you know, is the host of the Essentials show here on Guardian Radio. And he's also the chair of the business. The Economic Development Committee, organization responsible for governance. How's that going, Brother Edwards?
It's pretty well, working with Matt and the team over there. Certainly, effectively, they've given me some space and some lease to speak to and deal with some of the issues. We try to use the platform as best as possible to draw attention to issues which are important to the country, to support areas where that support is necessary. So I certainly try not to engage in this idea where, you know, we have something like, guerrilla warfare, where we say, well, certainly I don't want to be taking pot shots at the government or any entity for that matter. But where there are issues, you point them out, but you point them out in a balanced way. It's never just simply, you didn't do that, you didn't do this, but, you know, consider this other thing, and, you know, have discussions around what a long-term impact. And so I try to do that mostly through writing and the writing of publishing of articles. And to the extent that those bring value, then, you know, certainly we hope that they'll have some effect.
The political environment in the country, though, is very quiet, almost. I mean, obviously, if you compare it to what it was like prior to the election, things seemed on the good and, well, mostly on the negative side, very robust in terms of things you can talk about. Mm-hmm. There are issues. Don't let's fool ourselves. I mean, and I think I indicated on one occasion that there is a degree to which this new administration is following in the footsteps of the former administration, to the extent that whatever controversies have arisen so far seem to have been self-inflicted. They weren't things that somebody drove or dug up or anything of that nature. You know, you decide to travel to Bermuda and it works out in a certain kind of way. You know, that's something you decided to do. You know, however you handle NIB, however you handle BPL, that's the decision you made. And so that's the kind of noise that's there, but it's not nearly like the noise of what's being created. Are you sensing the same thing?
Yeah, well, you know, usually noise in the market is a function of what is done or not done and what is done or not done. Well, what is done or not done by the party in power and what is done or not done by the party opposite. I think you have leaders who are I think significantly different from what we had in the past. I think the opposition leader is seeking to create, I would dare say, maybe a new brand, a new way of dealing with opposition matter. And the experience from the Davis administration is that they are significantly way more careful and more effective in managing the issues. And so that may cause some of these things to be tampered down a bit. But you're right, some of the things that we have experienced up to this point in time were certainly avoidable, at least from my perspective. And, you do them, we deal with them, and we move forward. I would just hope, though, Chicago, going forward within that political space, because it's important for the country, it's important for democracy, it's important for any number of reasons in terms of national development, that you see coming to bear, I think, a little bit more deeper conversations on the issues. Sometimes I think the argument settles too much at the superficial level. And, you need to have some of these conversations which are deeper and broader. And in that way, you get to tease out some of the issues which are not immediately obvious. And that may bring another level or another type of robustness, not the rancor, but a type of robustness which can be more productive going forward.
Good luck with that, my friend. And I didn't say that to be facetious. I only said that because...
No, you've been real. Yeah. But that's the idea. That's something that I would love to see.
Yeah, because the broad population don't have time for deep. I mean, you and I who follow these matters more closely, that's what we want, that's what we engage in and so forth. But like you take an example, newspapers know. Are people gonna really read your story or are they gonna read the headline? And you hope to kind of grip them and pull them into the story, maybe by the headline, but by and large, people read the headline. You know what I mean? And
Definitely. So
politicians also know, man, I probably got about like 30 seconds of these people's attention, what I could put in there. it's a real challenge, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But But obviously, to your point, the substance and the results we look for only can happen when you deal with the deep.
Yep. And you know, it's one of those tensions too, because you know, popularity and attention is important in the life of a political actor. It's important.
Yeah, even business, even a business knows, man, I got to put one or two items out there with them people, I'm going to come look for, because otherwise I'm dead in the water, because you have this choice to eat this place and that place, yeah, and that place and the next place. I got to say something, do something, show something that makes mm-hmm. you come to me, because we ain't got that much attention span.
Exactly. Just the way life is.
Yeah. This text says, always vary. I assure you that Nail Tech in the inner city is not charging $60 for a manicure and $70 for a pedicure. That's true. Both might be priced at $35. Inland revenue is ignoring a whole range of factors in their model. I agree with you 100%. That there's a lot of factors that could determine what might be the revenue of somebody. I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, Brother Edwards, listen, do you have any final words?
It certainly was a pleasure. Thank you for the invite, and I look forward to, you know, continue to get take opportunities to engage. Just to say to the country, to everybody, you know, 2023 could be a very pivotal year for us. We need to settle down and get serious about the business of growing the country. The words of the governor of the Central Bank of the Bahamas, I think, is very important when he said that his concern is that the Bahamas will revert to its level of growth potential. That level of growth potential has been very, very, very minor for a long time. That we have to fix if we're going to fix some of the broader issues in the country.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir. You know, tomorrow I'm going to talk about the Bahamas through the eyes of the boys of the Bahamas. That's what I'm talking about tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be listening.
Yes, sir. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, so glad that you could join us here today. God bless you. We're going to talk to you again tomorrow. He spares life. Y'all have a great evening. Same.